Hey guys, welcome to the GOAT Podcast. I, Monica Teske, am your host once again with the very hyperactive Cooper Teske playing the role of my co-host, or as Michael calls him, Skip Barkless, playing the role of my co-host. But before we get into football today, I wanted to share a little trivia tidbit that I learned today. Since 1982, I was able to find 12 times where one school has had a team in both the men's and women's Final Four. This year, however, is the first time ever that two schools have had a team in both the men's and women's Final Four. So congrats to both UConn and NC State for that really cool and weird little trivia for today. Now I'm just going to take just a second to open my Dr. Pepper before I start the main part of the podcast. It just feels wrong to record a podcast without a Dr. Pepper. And not going to lie, I have a dream, albeit not a very realistic dream, that someday I will do something where Dr. Pepper would want to sponsor me. I think that would be awesome. All right, so down to the purpose of this episode, which is football. Yesterday, we talked about some of the biggest positional needs for teams in the NFC and what they have done to address those needs so far in free agency. Today, we will talk about that same thing, but for the AFC teams. And then for the last two episodes of the week, we'll be breaking down a mock draft that Michael sent me, and I'll give my take on it and then discuss some of the biggest needs of each team and see if Michael addresses them or if I could find something else that they might do to fulfill a better positional need. Today, we are going to start in the AFC North with the Baltimore Ravens. Once again, I'm getting all of this information from that same Bleacher Report article. Their biggest needs are wide receiver, offensive tackle, and interior defender. I think interior defender is probably meaning defensive tackle here. Baltimore primarily runs a 4-3, meaning they will typically run their defense with four linemen and three linebackers, but they also do a little bit of 3-4, so three linemen and four linebackers. But for this, I think I'm going to go with defensive tackle as a safe guess as to what Bleacher Report meant here. Although, the Ravens did lose Patrick Queen, who was an inside linebacker, but this article was written before Queen signed elsewhere. But anyways, to address their need at wide receiver, the Ravens signed Nelson Agholor. They signed Josh Jones at offensive tackle and re-signed Justin Madubuike and Brent Urban on the defensive line. Considering what was out there in free agency, the Ravens have not really helped their cause. I don't like these moves for the Ravens at all. They signed Derrick Henry, but I don't know what that's going to do for them because they aren't going to use him enough for him to be effective. Henry needs more carries in order to be the Derrick Henry that we all know and love, but he's not going to get that volume in Baltimore, so I expect that to be a bust. Next on the list is the Cincinnati Bengals. Their needs are interior defender, offensive tackle, and tight end. They have gone all out to try and fill these positional needs. They signed Trent Brown at offensive tackle and Sheldon Rankins at defensive tackle and then Mike Gesicki at tight end. They re-signed Tanner Hudson and Drew Sample at tight end. They have got to protect Joe Burrow at all costs. He has shown that when he's healthy, he can get this team to the Super Bowl, so they have got to go all out in order to protect him so they can try to make it back. The next team is the Cleveland Browns. Their needs are wide receiver, interior defensive line, and edge rusher. They made a trade with Denver for Jerry Jeudy and re-signed James Proche at receiver. This trade, I have mixed feelings on it. I think it's probably a good idea that Denver move on from Jerry Jeudy, and I wish him the best in Cleveland, but I unfortunately do not think he's going to have any better quarterback play than what he had in Denver. In fact, it may actually end up being worse. I feel bad for the guy. He's so incredible in college, and he had such a high ceiling, and then he just couldn't figure out how to fit in Denver. I hope he can find a good fit somewhere. The Browns have done a lot of re-signing of players, but they haven't really got any new players in Cleveland. And I just don't see how Jerry Jeudy fits in that team right now. They re-signed Za'Darius Smith at edge. They re-signed Quentin Jefferson, Maurice Hurst, and Shelby Harris all at defensive line. The Browns went 11-6 last year, but I don't know if I see them doing that well again. The Bengals will be better, and the Steelers should be better. I don't think the Browns will be the winless Browns or the one-win Browns that we used to see. But I also don't think they're going to be in serious playoff contention again this season. We'll see. We will see. The last team in the AFC North is the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers' positions of need are quarterback, offensive tackle, and corner. And honestly, if Michael was here, he would probably change it from offensive tackle to just offensive line in general. If you've been following his mock drafts, you have seen that he has mocked Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon, to the Steelers more often than not. I will say this about Michael's drafts. If I have learned one thing from them, it's that when he's stuck on a player like that for the Steelers, it's more than just a hunch. There's something there because Michael is very, very clued in to what a lot of the teams may do, but especially the Steelers, and he's not normally surprised by what the Steelers do, especially in the first round. But to the Steelers' needs at quarterback. If the Falcons did not make the biggest splash of all in free agency with a quarterback position, the Steelers did because they signed Kyle Allen. Sorry, I can't resist. That was funny to me. Obviously, I'm kidding about that being the biggest splash at the quarterback position. But the Steelers did make a lot of moves at quarterback. They traded for Justin Fields and they signed Russell Wilson. This is not the Steelers team that we have been used to lately. So this large amount of offseason activity has been wildly entertaining. The Steelers have never been my number one team in the NFL, but they have always been pretty close to my heart, even before I ever knew who Michael was. So that is something that I have been. So this movement is weird for me just because I have been watching the Steelers a little bit closer than some of these other teams over the years. The Steelers have not signed any offensive linemen yet, which is interesting to me, and I think it makes Michael's mock of Jackson Powers Johnson to them even more interesting and even more likely. The Steelers did acquire Dante Jackson from the Panthers by trade. The Steelers gave up Dante Jackson and they gave up Deontay Johnson. Those names are way too close. If I remember correctly, Dante Jackson was a corner that the Steelers had tried to get in free agency previously. But obviously, he didn't go to Pittsburgh. But they finally got their guy, and I'm really interested to see what he will do alongside of Joey Porter Jr. And speaking of Joey Porter Jr., go back and listen to Michael's mocks before the last draft. He mocked Joey Porter Jr. to the Steelers a lot. And look what happened. Oh, and before I get off of the AFC North, the Steelers signed Patrick Queen. This is a massive, massive deal. I don't know which part is bigger. I don't know which part gets me more excited, him coming to Pittsburgh or him leaving Baltimore. The Steelers are making huge moves, and I expect them to be so much better this upcoming season. It's an exciting time to be a Steelers fan, for sure. The next division is the AFC East, where we will begin with the Buffalo Bills. And I'm going to start this with a potentially hot take. I think Buffalo's time of being a serious contender in the AFC is over. They weren't able to get over the big mountain that is the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm not confident that they will be able to contend at a high level anymore. I'd be happy to eat my words, but I just have a feeling about this team that's not good. Anyways, their biggest needs. Bleacher Report says their biggest positions of need are all on defense, edge, corner, and safety. They re-signed AJ Epenesa, they signed Taron Johnson, and they signed Mike Edwards. That's not enough to get it done. The Dolphins are getting better. The AFC East is not going to be a super easy division like it has been since Tom Brady left to go to the Buccaneers. This isn't enough for the Bills. I don't like this for them at all. This isn't enough. They've got to do a lot more to remain competitive, I guess, in the AFC. The next team in the AFC East is the aforementioned Dolphins. They need interior offensive linemen, interior defenders, and edge rushers. The Dolphins re-signed offensive linemen Robert Jones and Isaiah Wynn. They also signed Aaron Brewer, and I think those are pretty good moves to improve their interior offensive line. The Dolphins also signed Shaq Barrett at edge, and I think this is an awesome move for them. Honestly, at edge, they have a lot of injury-prone guys, so they do need a rotation piece in there, and that should be exactly what Barrett gives them at this point in his career. At defensive tackle, they have made some major moves. They signed Neville Gallimore, Jonathan Harris, and Benito Jones. So they are making some big moves to try to upgrade their defensive line. I like these moves for the Dolphins, and I think that they are making the moves that they need to become more competitive in the division and in the conference as a whole. The next team in the division is the Patriots. They need everything on offense pretty badly, but Bleacher Report specifically picked out quarterback, offensive tackle, and wide receiver. They signed Jacoby Brissett. They got rid of Mac Jones, and they signed Jacoby Brissett. Didn't Brissett play for the Patriots at one time? Wasn't he Tom Brady's backup back in the day? I honestly don't remember, but for some reason in my head, I see Jacoby Brissett in a Patriots uniform. So that's an interesting pickup for the Patriots. They re-signed receivers Kendrick Bourne, Jalen Reagor, and they signed KJ Osborne. At offensive tackle, they signed Jakuma Okorafor. I really don't see how this is going to end any other way for the Patriots than to be the basement of AFC East again. This team is really not good. And as much as I was tired of the Patriots' constant winning, I have to say that this rapid fall makes me a little bit sad for the organization. I mean, I don't know, just to see them go from the top to the bottom so quickly is just a little sad. The last team in the AFC East is the Jets. You remember last year how they built their entire team around Aaron Rodgers, only to have him get hurt on what was it, like the fourth snap or something? It was ridiculously fast. They need wide receiver, offensive tackle, and safety. Mekhi Becton was a great experiment for them, but he has not panned out at offensive tackle, and they really, really need someone to anchor that offensive line because Rodgers is very injury prone and he's getting a lot older. So they need to protect him even more. But I think that the Jets are thankfully hyper aware of that now because of how last season went with Rodgers' injury almost immediately. And so I think that they're being very smart about upgrading their offensive line. They signed Tyron Smith and John Simpson, and they traded for Morgan Moses. So just like that, the Jets made some major upgrades to their offensive line. Hopefully they will be able to keep Rodgers safe from injuries. They haven't done anything to solve their issues at safety yet, but they did sign Mike Williams at receiver, and they're doing what Green Bay never did, and they're getting Rodgers a weapon to throw to. Interesting pickups for the Jets, and if Rodgers can stay healthy, I'm starting to wonder if the Jets are going to be able to jump over the Bills in the division. Not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just thinking out loud. Just putting it out there. We'll see. The next division is the AFC South. The Houston Texans are where we begin. They need corner, interior defensive line, and edge. The Texans looked amazing. Amazing last season. And they definitely overachieved from expectations. And just based on what I'm seeing from them in free agency so far, they ain't playing around. And they want to compete with the Chiefs right now. They signed Nico Autry, Mario Edwards, Tim Settle, Foley Fotokasi, all at defensive line. They signed Derek Barnett and Danielle Hunter at edge. And listen to this. Listen to the list of people they signed at corner. Here we go. Mike Ford, Miles Bryant, C.J. Henderson, Lonnie Johnson, Desmond King II, and Jeff Okuda. Whoa. If it is possible for me to give a team an award for most improved during the offseason, even though they finished last year at 10-7, I'd give it to the Texans. I am so impressed with the moves they are making. And I really, really hope that these are the moves they need to beat the Chiefs. The next team in the AFC South is the Colts. Their needs, also all on defense, corner, safety, edge. They re-signed Tyquan Lewis. They re-signed Kenny Moore II, Julian Blackman, and Ronnie Harrison. I don't know what the Colts are doing. I do differ with Bleacher Report here, though, because I think the Colts have some pretty big needs on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, what springs to mind immediately are tight end and offensive tackle. So I expect that the Colts will probably go more offense in the draft over defense, but we will see how that pans out. The next team in this division is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh boy. Bleacher Report says they need edge, interior defender, and corner. They franchise tagged edge rusher Josh Allen, not quarterback Josh Allen. That messes me up all the time. And they signed edge rusher Travis Gibson. They signed defensive lineman Arik Armstead, and they signed corner Ronald Darby. That's not a lot of moves on the defensive side of the ball for a team that supposedly needs a lot on defense. A lot of their offseason activity has been on offense. So it sounds like Jacksonville sees their needs differently than the staff at Bleacher Report does. But probably the most intriguing move to me for the Jaguars so far is that they traded for Mac Jones. That just seems so crazy to me. I want to know, right? I want someone in Jacksonville to tell me right now if Mac Jones was brought in to compete with Trevor Lawrence. Both of them have been disappointments. Mac more than Trevor, but they've both been disappointments. So I'm interested to see if they're going to compete, and maybe they're thinking that those two competing against each other will help spur one of them on to be good. I don't know. The last team in this division is the Titans. And I'll let me say this right now, before I look at what Bleacher Report says, I think their biggest need is offensive line. And I've been preaching that for quite a while. They need offensive line. So Bleacher Report agrees somewhat and has offensive tackle on their needs list, but also says they need edge rusher and wide receiver. The Titans have only made two moves to improve their offensive line. They signed Sadiq Charles and Lloyd Cushenberry. That's not enough. I'm not satisfied with that. They need more help, but at least they're starting to make an effort to improve their offensive line. But they've got to do more. If they want Will Levis to succeed, they've got to do more. They haven't done anything at edge yet, but they did sign wide receiver Calvin Ridley to a massive contract. I think I talked about this on the podcast before, but it blows my mind that the Titans spent $92 million on Calvin Ridley when they could have had an even better receiver in A.J. Brown for, what was it, $100 million a couple of years ago? I would much rather spend $100 million on A.J. Brown than $92 on Calvin Ridley. Insanity. Absolute insanity. The Titans did make a very interesting move, though, to boost their secondary, and they acquired Legarius Sneed from the Chiefs, so that's something to keep an eye on going forward. So the last division to cover in the NFL is the AFC West. And as I've been going through the divisions, I've been going alphabetically, but I'm going to switch that here so I can do my favorite team last, because I have quite a few things to say about my favorite team. But I'm going to start with my current least favorite team in the NFL, the Chiefs. To be perfectly honest and to be unbiased, they really don't need a whole lot. They could probably improve at wide receiver and maybe defensive line, but other than that, okay, well, Cooper agrees. They don't have a whole lot of room to improve, but they also don't have a lot of cap room. Bleacher Report expands on the needs that I see for the Chief and adds edge rusher. I guess I can see that. The Chiefs, to improve their receiver room, signed Hollywood Brown, so that's interesting. But the Chiefs probably made the most interesting move all of the offseason right here with somebody else. They signed a rugby star named Louis Riese-Zamet. And he's supposedly going to be like a Swiss Army knife for them. He's going to be running back, wide receiver, maybe some special teams. I'm really, really intrigued to see how that works out. And I want to watch the Chiefs very carefully to see how that pans out, because I think it would be really cool to see that guy succeed in the NFL, even if it's with the Chiefs. The Chiefs did re-sign a few players from the defensive line, but the most notable is Chris Jones. They signed him to a massive, massive contract. Between the contract that they have for Mahomes and the contract that they now have for Chris Jones, I would like to see what else the Chiefs are going to be able to do in free agency and seasons going forward, because they have so much cap space tied up in two players. Granted, it's probably the two best players on the team, but still, it'll be interesting to see if they can maintain the dynasty paying that much to two players. The next team in the division is the Las Vegas Raiders. This is my other least favorite team in the NFL. The Raiders and the Chiefs kind of trade off, to be honest. They need quarterback, offensive tackle, and interior defender. At quarterback, they signed the mighty Gardner Minshew. I don't know what they're thinking there. Minshew has been a very solid backup, but has not been reliable enough to be an everyday starter in the NFL. But they didn't give him backup money. They gave him starter money, so I don't get it. They, in true Raiders fashion, have not upgraded their offensive line at all. But they did give Christian Wilkins a massive deal to help out on the defensive line. Honestly, this is a really, really pitiful offseason for the Raiders. Just horrible, horrible moves by then. I expect they're going to be worse this upcoming season than they were this past season. They were 8-9, and I don't know how they got to 8-9. I'm predicting it's going to be worse. The Chargers are getting better. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. The Broncos will not be good, but with a team as bad as the Raiders, the Broncos can probably steal at least one from you. And that's 1-5 right there. That's 5 losses right there. Because Denver is what Denver is right now, the Raiders are probably not going to be the worst team in the division, but they're not going to be good at all. The next team in the division is the Los Angeles Chargers. They made a huge splash with their new coach in getting Jim Harbaugh. I am pretty sure that I have already let my opinions be known on the Harbaugh stuff, so I'm just going to move on. Last year, I really thought the Chargers had the talent to compete in the AFC, but they just couldn't get it together at all. Harbaugh has done more with less talented teams, so I expect that the Chargers will be greatly improved this upcoming season. In order to be greatly improved, though, they have some places they need to upgrade. Corner, interior defender, and wide receiver. They lost both of their big receivers in Mike Williams and Keenan Allen this offseason because their salary cap is not in a good place. The Chargers haven't addressed any of these positions of need so far, but honestly, I don't feel concerned about that. I still think the Chargers are in a good place, as weird as that is to say. I think the moves that they are making are enough to help at other positions so that they can address their biggest positions of need in the draft easily. At least that's how I'm feeling right now on the Chargers. But hey, it's the best for last, the Denver Broncos. Well, best is probably not the way to describe them right now. The Broncos are in major, major salary cap trouble because of the crazy contract that they gave Russell Wilson. But hold on, and I'm catching myself on this. Before we gripe too much about the Broncos giving him that gaudy contract, you have to remember that the contract was a condition of him coming to Denver. If they were going to offer him the contract, he wasn't going to accept the trade. So if the Broncos really wanted to see if things would work out with Russell Wilson, they had to commit to that contract. But it obviously didn't work out, and so they released him, and they're taking most of the cap hit this year so that it will lighten the load next season. So the Broncos should be bigger players in the draft and free agency next season. With that said, I would love to see the Broncos trade down in the draft. I'm honestly kind of expecting that at this point, to be honest. If the Broncos want to try for a quarterback, and maybe they do, maybe they want someone besides Jarrett Stidham under center week one. I have a sneaking suspicion that there will be someone that they are interested in the second round or later. I'm not sure yet what prospect specifically it will be, but I'm thinking that they are looking at Bo Nix and Michael Penix. There have been some whispers about Michael Pratt from Tulane, but I haven't heard those in a little while. But I am hearing a lot about Nix and Penix, especially if they move down. So that would be very interesting to consider. With all that said, right now the Broncos don't have a second round quarterback. So in order to pick one of those guys up in the second round, they would have to move down. Their needs are quarterback, cornerback, and edge rusher. The Broncos have not done anything to upgrade at any of these positions so far. And honestly, that's not really surprising because of the cap purgatory that we're in right now. I am emotionally preparing myself for a 2-15 type season. However, I do know that a lot of people within the organization love to brag that the Broncos have never held the number one pick in the draft. So in a way, I would kind of like that to stay the same. But I don't know. I don't want the Broncos to be so bad that we get the number one pick. But I am emotionally preparing myself for this team to be that bad. We will see. The Broncos have signed a bunch of former Texas Longhorns, though. So maybe they're playing the long game and they're looking to get Quinn Ewers in the next draft. Who knows? Who knows? It's going to be a long season for the Broncos. But that's it for the AFC team's positions of need. Tomorrow, we will begin to look at Michael's 3-round mock draft, and we'll talk to you then.